This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. I'm Luann Linnegan, and I'm with...
James Rich.
Hi, James. So, I'm all dressed up. I came in with this big feather hat. I'm going to an event right after this. So, I'm pretty excited because it's a bunch of us getting together. And, you know, it's funny because we all have the women there. Well, the women that I fellowship with there, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a healing center. So, they're all, you know, serving the Lord. But the women that... we all have ministries in this community, and we're all like united. It's so important that we fellowship like this because we're all, it's a body. You know, we're a body, we're the body of Christ, and we all have a different function, but it's to service the same heart of God. You know, it's his heart for the people of our community, and even further than that, you know. And it's good to have those resources when you're doing ministry or ministry is a lifestyle. It's not like when I say ministry, you have to have this big ministry, right, James? I mean, it's just fellowship with people and they call you for prayer. That's ministry. Your family going through a crisis, there's ministry there, you know? So it's good to have people in your life that are, you know, doing things similar to what you're doing. So like I said earlier, you're listening to Kingdom Recovery. We're on every Friday, mostly 98% of the time live at 5 o'clock on WCNO 89.9. And what we do, James and I here, this ministry is about renewing the mind, the transformation of our lifestyle by the renewing of the mind. And the mind gets renewed by the Word of God. And that's really, I mean, we can renew our mind in the wrong direction. You know, there was things that I was doing when I was younger.
You just re-old your mind.
Yeah, re-old my mind.
Just kidding.
But as a kid, I didn't, you know, I experienced because I was living out of the flesh, you know, from the flesh. So it was senses. I was senses motivated, sense motivated, you know. So like, so there were messages that I received that I believed because we are, you know, what we believe is our faith. Basically, I had faith in certain things that were really not of God to ease and comfort, love, security, all these things that when we get born again, it's those old messages that we have to renew, you know, get new information. God's word is the new information, you know, and until we're born again, we really can't understand God's word the way the Holy Spirit teaches us. We can understand it in a natural sense, you know, logically, but as far as spiritually, God, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you know the word, but you don't know the word intimately, transformed inside, you know? And that's the difference when we follow Jesus, you know, because he says lots of different things in scripture that says, like, I don't know you. And they say, well, I served you. Look at Judas, you know, he was with Jesus. He was doing the miracles. He sent Judas out to do miracles, and Judas chose not to follow him through and through, you know? So there's a difference. You can know Jesus, you can declare from your mind things, but when your heart is for Jesus, truly sold out, surrendered, then there are things in your life that will start to leave, or you will make a conscious effort to say, God, I need help with this. This is something I don't want to do, or it doesn't work for me anymore. People, places, and things. It's the same thing we do when we come into the 12-step programs or therapy. The whole idea is to get our thinking to line up with truth. Like, alcohol is bad for you. It doesn't keep, you know, for some people, it puts them in blackouts. It does things that, you know, for others, they're not desiring it to that point. I'm not saying, because I'm not calling anybody anything, but for some people, because of the belief system, they believe that that's a solution. And they will take it to a level that is beyond human control. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, just demonic at that point. So, and so we've been talking about steps. We did one and we're in step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, because anything outside of God, biblical principles, biblical truth is false, is insane, causes instability in the mind. So you can know a lot of factual things in the world, but it's the truth that makes us free. It's God. It's Jesus is the truth. So it's him that makes us free. And when we follow Jesus' way, his will, his plan, because he's with the Father, so he knows the plans that our Father has for us. And he will speak to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides us here on earth, because the Holy Spirit is with us on earth. Right, James? Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. Because if I don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I don't, what does Jesus say to Nicodemus? You can't enter the kingdom and you can't see the kingdom if you're not born again. You must be born again. And in that born again process, it's the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling. But now we have to have a daily sanctification of infilling, which starts from the inside of us. He's in the inside of us, and he wants to infill us with God's love, security, and through by his word. We live this way, and we get transformed in character, in word, and in action. So some of the things we were talking about the last 2 weeks was the function of the Holy Spirit, what he does, who he is, and why was he sent to us to dwell in us, right? Jesus left, mm-hmm. and he said, now I'm going to send you another to lead and teach you and guide you and comfort you and lead you into all truth. That's the Holy Spirit's purpose, to lead us to Jesus. Jesus is all truth. So I printed some things that I saw that I thought were really helpful, because I go to the jail and kind of like things kind of line up when I'm teaching, because that's where God has me. You know, it's almost like when you see a car in a color or something, all of a sudden you see it all over the place. It's like all of a sudden you're in tune, like God's talking to me about this. So names and roles of the Holy Spirit, I just printed some things with some scripture. Word of wisdom. So he gives us the wisdom of God. He convicts us. He gives us revelation. We were talking about these. I'm going to briefly talk about them right now because we did a whole bunch. We're up to number 10, and that was the last one we were going to discuss, which is the Holy Spirit sacrifices and enables sanctifies and enables believers to bear good fruit, because we're going to be talking about the beginning of the fruit of the Spirit. One Spirit, several fruit, okay, like an orange. But we also discuss the word of knowledge, like he gives us, you know, the nine gifts, word of knowledge, and gifts are given and fruit is grown. But without the Holy Spirit and the submission to God's word, obedience, reverence, fear of the Lord, we can't spiritually grow. If we don't choose, it's my choice daily to surrender myself, my will, over to God. And that's the third step, turn my will over to the care of God as I understood him. You know, and I did for many years in a distorted understanding. So it was, you know, based on works for me for many years without drinking. You know, it was just, I didn't take time to seek step 12, I was seeking, it says in 12 that we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. I thought it was just like, go to retreats, sit on a mountain, listen to really beautiful, soft music, light a candle. Like that to me was seeking, sorting through prayer, meditation, you know, reciting the Our Father or the Hail Mary or, you know, things like that. That meant that I was in line with him. And let me tell you, I'm not making fun of anybody because that's where I was at. And thank God it kept me in at least maybe I was facing the right direction, but I wasn't walking, you know, I was just looking, you know, because God is good. And anything that is good is of God. Things are moving here. I guess it's just the Holy Spirit's like, yes, he is. The mic just shifted. So we talked about faith, right? He builds our faith. He grows us. He gives us revelation so that we can know. He's the Spirit of faith, Spirit of power, Spirit of might, Spirit of the Lord. And this is all scriptural, okay?
Okay. Can I comment on this?
Yes.
Because the word of knowledge is you having supernatural knowledge of something that everybody else, the person would know you're talking to, whether you're, he can give it like things going on. Some people will know like, oh, your address, your social security number, whatever. I get pains people are feeling a lot of times. That's a word of knowledge. And I'll ask, is your back hurting, you know, standing in line somewhere or your shoulder or whatever I'm feeling. And you want it to be a pain you don't normally feel. Not if you got a back problem, then it might be you. But or if you feel a heaviness, it'll let you feel like if they're feeling depressed. Those are words of knowledge. And then the faith, we all have a measure of faith, but there's a supernatural gift of faith where all of a sudden you just pray. And I've seen it with healing and rain and different things where I just knew it just had to be God because mm-hmm. I knew for a fact there's no way you're not going to be healed this time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So, and that goes with gifts of healing. This is all Holy Spirit.
Yeah, this is
operating
how God moves
through
the nine
us.
Gifts. And with Jesus, he moved through the nine gifts.
That's right. Amen. So Jesus is our power of example. When it says a power greater than myself, well, there it is. And this is where Kingdom Recovery and 12-step programs and therapy and all these things, you know, that we seek outside of the kingdom can connect with the kingdom of God, you know? So they all could be very good doctors, you know, once you connect it with God. I mean, he's the one that created it all.
You know, like a word of knowledge would be the lady at the well.
Yeah.
Knowing
amen.
All.
So even though, you know, God uses people to create, if it's good, it's of God. Now, there are people that can get into God's creation and distort it because it has a demonic influence. You know, they're being influenced by the wrong spirit, you know. But when you're discerning and you understand spirits and you understand God's spirit, if you didn't know any other spirit, but you knew your relationship with the Holy Spirit was strong and everything, you would discern right away that what's from God and what isn't. And anything that is not of God is unholy, is ungodly, is from a darker realm. Okay, so that's how you know. That's not what God would do. That's not what God says. Then you know it's not coming from the light.
And there
light.
Is like occultic ways of healing that actually do work some. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus.
Amen.
So if they're not doing it in Jesus' name, you want to stay away because commonly what happens is like kids get healed of ulcers or allergies or something, and then later on they got something way worse because the devil don't just give you something without. Now you've went against God's word and the Ten Commandments, and you've opened a door for him to come and give you something, like cancer or something like that.
Yeah, amen. So, and all those things are because of legal rights, James is talking about. That the enemy has, you know, a legal right when we give him that. Okay, and it's by our choices and our, you know, what we believe. We're going to choose what we believe to be true or right for us. And if we choose according to our flesh, our senses, we're usually amiss. You know, like, oh, that'll make me feel better. is usually how we make decisions in our life. You know, the easier, softer way. We talk about this in the program of, you know, in the literature and even in when I deal with people who are going through crisis. Right away, I know, when, especially when they're blaming spouses or children or systems, that the reason why they're in that situation, me too, the reason why I was in 99% of my pit was because I just made choices that got me there. You know, based on how I was going to benefit most of the time. I never really thought about, like, oh, I think I'll take a deficit on this. No. Today, I don't care because I know he supplies all my needs. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even think about it, actually, which is a blessing. Last night, I was talking to somebody. I got a phone call, and they were sharing with me that they have family members who go to, I guess, psychics. You know, where, you know, they were coming up on an anniversary of, you know, a death in their family, and a relative called and said that this, I want to say gypsy, but psychic said, oh, you know, your mom came through and she just wants you all to know. She texted this all to know that she's so much happier on the other side. Uh-huh. So. And the person that called me knows that it's not good. Like, right away, she was like, she just wanted to share it and get it out of her mind. You know, like, mm-hmm. What do I do with this? So we talked about the fact that, you know, even grieving and mourning, and I don't know how we're going on this, but obviously somebody needs to hear it. Because we just had two people in my network pass away. And they're not, you know, sometimes people don't handle it well, you know. And we were talking about how if you knew someone was in glory with Jesus and dancing and celebrating, who are you really crying for? I mean, wouldn't you be happy for that person? And they were like, huh. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you be glad that they're in a place that we're all striving to be? And they got there. So they were like, you know what? Yeah, that's a good way to, because really we're mourning for ourselves that we're going to not see them anymore.
Yes.
You know? And so it's sometimes, you know, just a way to help someone see it differently so that they don't stay stuck in that place, because the enemy wants you stuck there, you know? And as far as the fortune telling, I said to her, first of all, we know that what happened to Saul, the king, when he went to the fortune teller to resurrect Samuel, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, all hell broke loose for him, you know? So she's like, oh, yeah, that story. So I said, we're not supposed to. Why would, first of all, Jesus will come directly to us. He doesn't need our dead family to come to us. If you know Jesus, you know exactly where she is and what, you know, like if you knew that she was saved, of course, you know, her mom saved. But, you know, if you know Jesus, then you know she's where she is. So you don't really, there's no reason why she would have to come to you and tell you.
Yeah, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
And anything going around, because there's spirits that can mimic and look,
yes,
like your
familiar
dead relatives.
Amen.
And they know everything that's happened to your life because they're in your family, and just they can tell you anything, and they can work through psychics if they're actually got that door open and they're real psychics, and so they're with you when you go in there, and they can tell them everything to say right on the money. I mean,
amen.
Unfortunately, not unfortunately, but as human beings, we're created to seek a supernatural thing, and that's a place God put in us, a hole.
So we would seek him. Yes, amen.
Unfortunately, the enemy's good at making God look like old and stale and boring, and you go to church and listen to this sermon, it's 100 years old and been preached 50 times, or you can, and then all of a sudden the psychic's telling you things in a supernatural way you never heard. It's easy to fall into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, those people are usually very good people that get in the occult, and they make very strong, loving Christians, mostly occult people.
Yeah.
So I am never putting occult people down.
No.
They just have no clue what they're
right. I mean, because...
in.
I mean, I, before I was born again, I was all those things. I mean, yeah. I really was. I mean, I was throwing stones at Jesus. I was all those things.
Okay. If you're seeking, like, be filled with the Spirit, speak in tongues, and you can't, that's the common thing, is to have done something occultic. I just had a guy recently that, same thing, and I already knew that from, I learned that from Derek Prince, but you just see it over and over. He's like, I've had so many people pray for me, and I just can't get the gift of tongues, and I asked him a few questions, and it was just some silly, simple, occultic things he did as a kid.
Right.
And had him repent, and then we talked about some other stuff he hung up, and he's a fireman, and I was like, oh, man, I didn't pray for him again. And it was already an hour later than he usually went to bed. And he calls me like midnight. I have been praying for an hour straight. When you hung up, I started speaking in tongues immediately. Not even prayed for him.
Praise God. So I was, and also, like I was saying to her, the enemy wants to keep, you know, he's trying to distract. Because he knows she follows Christ, you know, and for that. For that family member to call her, and then for her to be like, what? Like, you know, like questioning, do you think my mom really? And I'm like, whoa.
No.
The enemy is trying to get you not to look towards Jesus, you know, because why wouldn't it be Jesus, you know? So all that, speaking in tongue is another gift of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Lord, the heavenly language, okay, and interpretation of tongue. We talked about. Go ahead, James.
And you didn't. Okay.
We are going to talk quickly about that. These are the gifts, but James and I did a whole. You remember we did like a month of gifts. We are going to do them again. When we get into step six and seven, because that's where the transformation, actually it's step 12 that we operate in the gift. We can operate in the gifts at any time, even, you know, before we're spiritually mature. I'm not saying that, but in the 12 steps, it says having had a spiritual awakening, we practice these principles in all our affair. You know what I mean? So we want to get the full richness of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, awareness inside of us so that we know who we are, spirit, soul, and body, and how to operate in His goodness, in His character. But go ahead, James. I know there's another one that stuck out.
So we have gifts of healing, which I just want to say, when you start moving the gifts, you have a prominent gift. Usually one person will be prophetic, one could be faith, one could be move strong in healing. But God uses any gift in any person at any time. Don't ever think, oh, I don't have this gift. If someone's in a wheelchair, got it and going, oh, no, I don't have anybody around with the gift of healing. I can't raise them up, dog. You know, it's like you use any gift, but there is some you're just prominent, more prominent in usually once you get filled with the Holy Spirit. So gifts of healing is one who uses gift of miracles, which was, if it's in the body, it's usually it could be like an organ growing back. That wouldn't be a healing. The healing would be an organ that's damaged being healed. And gift of prophecy. Now, a word of knowledge is knowledge of a past event. A gift of prophecy is a future prophetic thing. And I'm always careful when I'm around people that are moving in a word of knowledge. They're usually prophetic, but when they pray for someone a word of knowledge, they start going in the future. I'm like, I'm always nervous, like, I hope this is God, because they'll take the leisure, some of them, to start prophesying out of their self, and it may or may not be right. Just because they have the word of knowledge don't mean they have the gift of prophecy. So they're centering the spirits. That's the most lacking gift in the church, and I believe it's because you need to be mature for God to use you with that, because you'll start seeing stuff in people and like, oh man, that guy has a problem with lust, or that guy has that's a child molester, or whatever spirits you're seeing. And if you're going to look down on people for what spirits are on them or in them, however you want to put it, God's not going to give you that, because it's to help people and deliver people, not to judge
hurt
people.
And judge, yeah.
Yeah. And the gift of tongues, we've talked about that, supernatural language, and the interpretation of tongues. Mm-hmm. And in the upper room, they all were hearing it in their own language. Like the gift interpretation was on everybody. There's no way Because some people get into this, oh, that's a language. If you're not speaking a language, they were speaking a different language. I'm like, well, they couldn't have been speaking all the languages at the same time. They all heard it in their own language. They were just praying in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
that's
amen.
It. I just want to cover
amen.
It.
Amen. That's so good. Okay, so we, I just, little reminders of who the Holy Spirit is. So God created life through his Holy Spirit, through breath. You know, the Ruha of God is the resurrection power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. And he resurrects us in revelation because we are spiritually dead in a lot of areas of our life as far as, you know, the not knowing God's word. We get born again, but there's so many areas of our life that we're still like walking and thinking in darkness, you know. So resurrection power, he will raise those things that we believe are impossible, you know. And then so the one that we left off at was, oh, and I also want to say that God's Spirit is the power that empowers us to fulfill God's will. So it's his personal presence, God's personal presence in us. That's who the Holy Spirit is. He's God's personal presence inside of us. So if you want to know who the Holy Spirit looks like or what he looks like, look in the mirror because he's inside of you. Hallelujah, right? So, and God's Spirit begins new creation. He was there in the beginning. And when God said, let us make them in our image, he was talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So he's a being, and he wants to be in you. Live is being in you. So, and the only way he can do that is by you being living, obedient to God's word. Hallelujah. He's not going to go against himself. Okay, so the Holy Spirit sanctifies and enables believers to bear good fruit in their lives. The work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life is an ongoing process of becoming sanctified. And when we are holy once we get born again. But there are areas of our thinking that's unholy. There are areas of our speaking that's unholy. There are areas of our doing, being, living, that's unholy. So God, the Holy Spirit, makes those areas. If we allow him in those areas, they are holy. Okay? So our born-again spirit man is holy, righteous, all these things. But our soul can manipulate our flesh, our words, our thoughts, our actions to mimic, be in the image and likeness of lies, deception, darkness, the spirit, the demonic spirits, the lowercase g of the world, period. If we're following worldly things, we're following Satan, his belief system, his kingdom. His kingdom has virtues, values, moral ethics, everything, all kingdoms, all governmental structures have that. You know, communities, homes. You could think of going to the smallest, minutest place. My own life is a government. And then my marriage is a government. Then my job is a government. Then my, you know, and if we operate in the right government and we understand the divine laws and principles of God's government, we can operate in any environment, any plot of land properly. Otherwise, we're going to be on the other side of this. All right. So believers will not indulge in the sinful acts of the flesh, but bear the good fruit of the Spirit. So when we get conviction, the power of the Holy Spirit, we start to, it's called repentance, turn our direction, turn our ways, turn our position, our thinking, however you want to say it, our view towards God, heaven, the kingdom of heaven. So what does living in the fullness, the Trinity of God, look like? Bearing fruit, signs, and miracles and wonders. They should be chasing you. We shouldn't be chasing signs, miracles, and wonders.
Follow you.
Yeah, follow you. 1 Peter 1, 2 says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his spirit has made you holy. So you're holy, even in those places, you just have to bring your spirit man leading into those areas of your life that are dark. Okay? We're supposed to be led by the spirit, following the spirit, spirit to spirit. And I believe, you know, that's why a lot of people suffer. We let our flesh lead and guide us into all lies. So, and that is what convinces our mind, will, and emotion, manipulates us that these things are what we need. This is what's going to work. If I just do it again, it'll work this time. I mean, it's insanity trying to do the same things over and over. Money's not going to solve the problem. It might give you a little relief, but the problem's still going to be there because it's a rooted problem in the heart. It's not in the world. It's in the heart of man. That's where it is. And if you can look at that, why is it that you believe a lie that money or, I don't know, getting that position is going to solve your problems, give you the security, love you, make you feel accepted? And I'm saying these things because those are usually the core issues in our biopsychosocial, okay, that we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for security. We're looking for acceptance. And God has given it all to us. But we have to open up all the chambers of our heart. Okay? And it says, Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Hallelujah. So we're living by the Spirit's power. It's in Galatians 5:16-25. It says, So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So it's a battle between our senses, our natural man, and the spirit man. Okay? The natural man wants sensations, wants fleshly desires to be filled. The spirit man doesn't need fleshly desires to be filled because he's convinced and he believes, he walks by faith that God provides it all. Hallelujah. So the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses because you're not worried about the speed limit when you're doing the speed limit. So that's what that means. If you're walking in step with the spirit, you're not worried about the curse because you're not going to be under it because you're not fulfilling, you're going against God's word. Okay. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So if these things are prominent or things that you desire or are habitually, you know, seeking and or falling into, then you may want to yield yourself and let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you and get scripture because it's going to go on to talk about the Holy Spirit character. Start leading and guiding you into all truth, God's character. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So you're not going to experience peace, joy, sound-mindedness here on earth. You're just not going to because you're going to always have that turmoil going on. You know, strife and double-mindedness. And that's crazy. It's craziness. This is why step two says, restore me back to sanity. I can't be restored back to sanity if I'm still seeking worldly solutions to a spiritual problem. The spiritual nature is what it, needs to be adjusted. Hallelujah. From that natural belief system to a spirit, to the spirit, spiritual man. So, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Get ready. You ready? Ready, James? These are wonderful lists, because when we are on the opposite side of this, we know we're not on God's side of the fence. Okay. It's okay. So it says here, and this is the way we should be living, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, self-control goes with sound mind. I know that when I stop putting substances in my body, I still was not of sound mind. I still allowed jealousy, envy, anger, a big one, to cause blackout. Anger was a big one. Coveting is a big one. I want that. That was a big one for me. I would look at a magazine and I'd covet. You know, it's subtle, but it's dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and this is what people are being tripped up by. Tripped up and manipulated.
Language enough.
Yeah, because
that
it's...
That word is, should be, if it's written different in the Bible, covet, we just don't think that you say that to someone, they're like, what's that mean?
Yes, exactly. You know, it could be very simple things, you know?
Most of the church is full of a lot of coveting.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, even wanting to preach
know.
Like someone else, or, you know what I mean? That's coveting.
One in the neighbor's car. Why do they have a car? They don't even go to, they ain't tithing, and you're giving them better stuff than me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, you know, we need to know these things, because if we know better, we do better. And, you know, that's the intimacy we have with God, the Holy Spirit. You know, we want to be transparent with him. We don't want to be hiding behind these things. And none of those things can give us what we're actually looking for. We're looking for him. So those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross, okay, and crucify them there. Hallelujah. He already did it all for us. There's no reason why we're dragging a cross around. That's self-pity. You know? Woe is me. Look at the life I have to live. So since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading in every part of our life. So it's every area of your life. Now, I didn't know that when I first came into the kingdom. I thought I arrived. I really did. I was like, oh, I'm in. You know, I'm born again. I didn't even know what that was. And then when I found out that, you know, the difference, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm here. But then there's so much more of our heart that he wants all of us. You know, every part of our heart. You know, there was finances that I had to let him in. I had to let him in, and I was divorced for many, many years. My divorce. I had to go back and let him in there, let love in there in a different way. Not in a way because I'm sober and I have to do the right thing. No, I have to be the right thing. Okay? It's easier to be it than try to do it. Because it's who you are then.
Amen.
And love is spontaneous. Spontaneous love doesn't plan, I think I'm going to love that person. It happens because there's long suffering involved in it. And then all of a sudden, there's a moment where God's love has an opportunity to express itself through you. But if you're closed-minded, or you're not spending time with the Lord, and you're not in communication with God, you're not going to hear it. You're not going to know it's your opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and God is love, and I heard bells going when you were saying that.
Amen. Yeah, bells were going. Amen. Yes. So we want to follow the Holy Spirit, okay? He empowers us to bear good fruit spiritually, mentally, and physically, like Jesus did. James, you were saying that. You know, spiritually is our spirit, mentally is our soul, and physically is our body. When we're spirit, soul, and body with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're one with him. You know, and it says be in health in 3 John 1.
I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
Amen. Amen.
So much disease comes out of wrong thinking.
And it's a blessing. That's a blessing to us. You know? Hallelujah. So
when I say wrong thinking, I mean like bitterness causing stuff.
Correct.
You know, because they may not know what I meant by.
Yeah, and most of the things that James and I talk about, most of the things we talk about are feelings. You know, yeah. A lot of this is based on rooted feelings that are, they're lies that we believe that are attached to feelings that we act out. You know, it's thoughts that we act out. Okay.
And most of your problems, if you look back when you're having a, getting attacked and you're wondering why and all this going on, if you'll think back, it usually starts with just a little thought and it's just build a case. Now you're hating the guy or whatever.
Amen. And, you know, when we are doing things like that, we can absolutely, the Holy Spirit can be resisted, lied to, and insulted, right? We can resist the Holy Spirit by not wanting to surrender, to let go and let God is a real thing. You know, I got to let go of my will, my way, my plan, and let God's will, plan, and way in. So when we say those slogans, we even have it on the wall, let go and let God. I had no idea what I was talking about. You know, the other one is first things first. I didn't know seek first the kingdom of God and his
righteousness.
That's
an AA thing, right?
Yes. They're like all over.
Well, then they're telling them, you know, like any God, though.
Exactly. And that's why it's
let go and let the trash can.
Well, exactly. And that's why it's so important that the people that have the truth, in their heart, share their experience, strength, and hope. Nobody can tell me that's not what it is in my life. So it's important that I don't have fear of man. I think that exists a lot in the rooms too, because everybody wants to be accepted and they don't want to be the one to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's God. He's the higher power. You know, I do. But that's because I know who I am in him. You know, but it you know, when I first started changing my language in the program, it was uncomfortable. Like, I started saying, I'm a grateful member, rather than my name is Luann, I'm an alcoholic, or, you know, a drug addict or whatever, because I didn't want to declare that, because God said not to declare that. Yeah. I don't want to go against God's word. God, he says, by my stripes, you are healed. You were healed. Who am I?
Think about, like, the guy that called in at your house at night. He was delivered to alcohol and
Amen.
Crack and all that stuff. He said, I just can't lay the cigarettes down. And I told him, just speak.
Life.
You know, that the anointing backs up the word of God, and God set us free is the truth. Just speak that every time you light the cigarettes. Thank you that I'm delivered of cigarettes.
Amen.
With every puff, say, thank you, Lord, I'm delivered of cigarettes. And 2 weeks later, he zoomed back in. He's like, I am free of cigarettes.
Amen. And that goes with everything.
But think about that. This now, if the truth, that works that way, then to stand up and say, I'm so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic, it works that way too.
Correct.
You don't realize what you're...
And you know what's really...
Just change the words a little.
And I'm just being honest. In the literature, it says who have recovered, and nobody wants to highlight that. I always say, the first 100 recovered, why can't I? Mm-hmm. Why can't I say I have recovered from a hopeless state of mind, body, and spirit? Because that's the whole point of the program. It's in the first line of our literature, of the literature in that program. So we should be emphasizing that stuff, because that's the positive stuff that God wanted to operate through. You know, but if I'm not declaring those things, because
you can be a dry alcoholic.
Yes.
That's the point. You can have all those spirits of addiction.
That's exactly what I was.
Eat your chocolate and drink your coffee and live like so depressed. And and AA is good with that chip thing, because I've heard plenty of people say,
"And I don't."
I would have been drinking this weekend if I wouldn't have had to pick that white chip.
And I don't
Monday.
Do chips. Our group doesn't do chips for that reason, because I don't want to give the chip power.
Right.
Chip power. No chip power. You know, it's the power inside of you that, by the grace of God, you know, or it could be the power around you because you haven't received the Holy Spirit, but he's trying to woo you.
You know, that person, Amen. I'm just thinking about this, that person, he was clean in like 25 years, but he was still a dry alcoholic, and he moved and is no longer in any groups, and he's drinking again.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. When I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in the program, the first thing that he said is, you don't leave. I don't make mistakes. This is where I put you for a reason. This is your platform. If you leave, nobody's going to see how I, my glory on how I can transform somebody in my words. You know, you have to stay in fellowship. You have to be around people, because then you're hiding God if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. If you choose, oh, it's just me and the Holy Spirit. I got Jesus. I don't need programs. I don't need this. I don't need that. No, that's not the way he sat in meetings. He went to Matthew's house and ate. That was a meeting with all the sinners, you know.
And if you battle, you know, one thing that I really see a lot myself is just people that the self-hatred and being mad at themselves after they mess up, and they just stay in that state. They never really, and then they'll mess up again, you know, and then they'll make it 3 weeks or a month, but they're never walking in the freedom of God. Be quick to forgive yourself and try to stay in that freedom. The more you're walking in the presence of God, the more you'll get more free.
Amen.
So if you're beating yourself up, you got to stop that. If you're going to get free, you're never going to get free, because you're in the devil's kingdom when you're doing
it. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things is, who, if God loved me, he died for me, he died for you. If I was the only person, and we tell people this, if you were the only person in the world, God would have still did all that for that one person. That's how much he loves us. So for me, if I think that I'm not, self-pity, I'm not worth it, or I can't stop, then I'm thinking I have the power above God, because I'm saying, no, he's not strong enough to help me with this. Mm-hmm. My feeling is stronger than that, you know, and that's what we're trying to say. So if we stop, even it doesn't matter what our brain wants to tell us in the beginning, eventually your brain will be renewed, okay? Your words, because when we first come in to the kingdom of God, our whole lives we've been operating out of feelings and emotions, flesh. So it's not going to be an overnight thing, but things that happen are overnight, you know, the changing, you know what I mean? But it's not everything in one moment. It's when that thing changes, that one thing, it's like miraculous. Boom, all of a sudden, I was this, now I'm that. But there might be other things that need to be dealt with. But if you didn't get rid of, if that one thing was this and now it's that, you couldn't get to the next thing. So God knows what he's doing. Just give him time to be with you.
Renew
you know?
Your mind. Gotta be in the word.
And when we say, even in the program, or when you make appointments to meet with the therapist or whatever, show up. You know, like, just come. It says, just don't drink and go to meetings. Okay, yeah, it's that simple. Because even if it's one person in that meeting speaking life, the Holy Spirit knows what you need. And if your heart is really the desire to stop and want a better life, not because the judge sent you there, not because you're going to lose your family, not because you need to work or, you know, you need a break. It has to be because a wholehearted, when God says, you know, we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that's what he's talking about. You know, we can go to these things and say, okay, I want to save my marriage. I'm just going to go to therapy because that's what's going to say. No, it's going to be you desiring in your heart to change. That's going to be the saving factor, because God can change you. No one else can change you. That therapist can't change you. The meetings can't change you. It's you allowing God in to transform you. You know?
If you could just go in them rooms, and just from a spiritual aspect, if there was a supernatural way without dealing with, because you got to renew the mind.
Yeah.
But if you could go in there and just remove rejection, self-pity and pride, they'd be totally different people.
Yeah.
Their identity, when they see their true identity in Christ, they would be like, so many of them would be free, you know?
So like, it's so true. The mind needs to be the heart. It's a heart matter. But if you, even if it's little seeds of the mind shifting, you know, like, I'm just going to listen to, you know, this, I'm going to take that direction or whatever it is, you know, the heart will get transformed. You get transformed, but you got to get different information. We believe that's why God says come as a baby, because babies are they're eager to learn new things. They want to know. They don't have thoughts, their own thoughts, their own way of doing it, their own messages built in there to distract them from following.
They're teachable.
They're very teachable. And so God says when we come into the kingdom, we have to come in. That's why we're born again as a new creation. So it's like starting all over again. Everything that I've ever read, and when I allowed God into those territories, everything I ever read became so much more intense. Like, I was like, oh, my God. You know, like all the signs in the program, the big book itself, I would read it now, and I'm like, that's like... That's scripture. You know, like it's different because you got a spiritual realm knowledge that only God can give you, you know. So only the Holy Spirit here on earth, because even in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people for special skills, wisdom, you know. So he's always been here operating. All right. But today we get the Now Testament is what are we doing? Holy Spirit here right now. Without Jesus is not, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. This is the Now Testament, you know. Now I'm being tested by, you know, ament means pollinated by wind. Ha 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 ha. I looked it up. Isn't that awesome? It also means disturbing intellectual, like when you're not of sound mind. So you got to test your mind. You know what I mean? To line up with God's, your soul. To line up with God's word. Hallelujah. So we're in the Now Testament.
And the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters and the earth before people were even here.
Amen. He's been here for ever and ever and ever and ever. So Acts 7:51 says, you stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. So when we are choosing self-pity, or, you know, if that person will change, then I can change. That's, you know, those are tough old messages that have to be broken, because the only person that can change, and I just did a home intervention with family members, and there was stuff, there was almost a big fist fight. You know, and it's like that person's not going to change to make your day better. What can you do to make your day better? Because God gave you everything you need inside of you, you know. So Acts 5:3-5 says, then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. So, listen, you know.
He fell over dead.
He fell over dead, and then his wife, you know, lied too. He said he gave everything. And the only, it wasn't about Peter believing him or, you know, liking him or anything. It was about he was lying to the Holy Spirit, to God.
And they had to keep the church pure because it was a pure move of God. I mean, there's so much mixture now. People are getting away with stuff way worse than that. But God was trying to keep it pure, the move, in the beginning, you know, and corruption was trying to come in.
So the other thing is insulting the Holy Spirit and rejecting the Holy Spirit. So, and I think of Pharaoh. That's my thought when I think of an example, you know. There were several times, but he hardened. He had rejection. He was persistent and deliberate about not listening to the God, you know, Moses bring him the message from God. All right. About let my people go. And he had to suffer a lot in that process. Now, I know it's God's plan because it said God hardened his heart. But there was a lot of. You know, I think after a while when you're constantly.
I think he had to build him up to it, though, because he did the little things in the beginning. I think if he had done one of the bigger ones in the beginning, he may have just broken. God wanted to demonstrate and do all those signs for all the people of the earth to see.
Amen. So Matthew 12:31 says, therefore, I tell you that the people will be forgiven for every sin and insult to God. But insulting the Holy Spirit won't be forgiven. What's an insult? Speak to or treat with disrespect, scornful abuse. And that's blasphemy. The act of offense of speaking sacrilegiously. Okay. About God or sacred things, like going against God, right?
Yeah, they actually said that verse right after they accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, that he was the demon, and he was putting a work of the Holy Spirit as demonic.
Right.
And that's when he said, you can speak against me, you can speak to the Father, but if you speak against the Holy Spirit, it won't be given forgiven in this life or the one to come.
Amen, amen. So, let's just end in a happy note,
yeah,
though, because we have repentance, so we can repent, and that, you know, we can, because we
the
do,
Holy Spirit's
we do
friend.
Deliverance
we
all the time, and
like
I've made vows in my life, and I don't feel, thank God, guilt, shame, or remorse anymore, because I've done deliverance, you know, and I know, James, you too, you know, you've done your own deliverance, you know, with yourself, and then with others, too, so it's not to condemn anybody. I've said things in my life, you know, I've even cursed God in the heyday, and he knows my heart today, and he knows when we are true repentance, and he loves you, you know, and if you feel like you've ever done anything, you just ask God, you know, forgive me. I know better today, and I want to do better today. Right. So,
right. There is if you think you did the unpardonable sin, you didn't, because
amen.
You wouldn't be worried about it.
Yeah.
Be no conviction. You turn away from God and you don't care. So yeah. If you're thinking, oh, I think I did an unpardonable sin, you did not.
That's a good thing. Yeah. So, James, you want to pray and help people deal with that? We're helpers. The helper lives in you,
let's
James.
Leave.
Let
let's
the helper
give,
help.
Let's offer for if we have anybody listening
yes.
that doesn't know the Lord, we just want to
yes,
we lead you in a prayer mm-hmm. to ask the Lord in your heart. And this is where it all began for me. So repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And you rose the third day.
And you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Be Lord of my life.
Be Lord of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. See?
Amen.
Such good news. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Okay? And the fact that, you know, even if you're thinking, oh, you know, I might have done that, that's a good thing, because God's already shifting your heart. So with that, we'll see you talk to you next week.
Yeah.
God bless. Shalom, God bless shalom. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached out and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hand and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am.
In every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, though my heart.